Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the word of God as found in Luke 3. A voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Today we celebrate Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by his cousin John, just 20 miles from Nazareth. Up to now, Jesus has been in the carpenter shop. And from Nazareth, he had a reasonable reputation as a carpenter. Many knew him as the carpenter. And so now, in the fullness of time, things change. Paul wrote in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, God's plan. Before time even began, God planned exactly what our redemption would be, because he knew that our first human beings would screw it up. It's interesting, the other day as I was perusing through the computer, that scientists have finally said they believe that we are all descended from two people. Gee, if they'd only read the book, we'd save them time. But the other thing is that as he created the world, he also knew each one of us. He knew you. He knew you just exactly where you would be, what time you would exist, and what you would do. He knew each one of us. There are several of us in one profession that would like to know and explain why he picked out some of us to be pastors. The price of our redemption would be the holy, innocent, and precious blood of Jesus the Christ. And we, by faith, would receive from this redemption, this ransom, the forgiveness of our sins, life eternal, and all his gifts. All of this not because we earned them or deserved them, but a gracious gift from God. We, by faith, receive this. And there's nothing more that we can do but believe, and we can't do that on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of faith. It's interesting that we, by our own nature, are spiritually dead, as it says in Ephesians 2:1. We are spiritually captured to not be able to do anything with what God does. We are spiritually dead. Now, you have free will and everything else, but in spiritual matters, nothing. As the confessions state in the full declaration, we are captured to sin. God knew what was going to happen in the garden. Eve had not heard the command of God that she was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she met a snake. Now, don't you think that if you walked up to a serpent in a tree and he spoke to you, you might have some suspicion? Because the only snakes I've ever seen that talk have been elected. In Mosaic law, some interesting things happen. In the Old Testament, we see the blood of the Lamb was painted on the doorposts for the Passover. And by faith in the blood of the Lamb on the door, the angel of death would pass over. And otherwise, if you committed a crime or you did some evil thing, You would get an innocent lamb and take it as a guilt offering for your sin. And so we go to the prophet Isaiah, who says, told Ahaz, the virgin would conceive and bear a son and call him Emmanuel, God with us. He also spoke of the Messiah as a suffering servant, a servant that would, by his stripes, heal us of our many sins. It is the Lamb's blood which was shed that would heal us. And it's interesting to note that even there in that chapter in Isaiah, he says that this servant, this person, would be the guilt offering. He would be the Lamb of God, given for us for the sins, not only of the world, but for your sins and mine. And so then we travel in our mind's eye to the Jordan this morning. And there we see John and Jesus. Now, we don't know if they had any conversations. We don't know if they met. We don't know anything about that. Nothing is said. But I'm sure that if the Holy Spirit could make John leap in the womb at the presence of Jesus, the argument ended when Jesus walked up. He said, I need to be baptized. And John says, I'm not worthy to do that. And, you know, Scripture's neat because it has this little paragraph that you can read in less than 30 seconds, and you know, really, two preachers can't say hi without an hour and a half. And so Jesus there said that his baptism would fulfill righteousness in John the Quest. Jesus' circumcision had put the Son of God under the law, and the iniquity of us all would be now his burden. John, the next day, would tell his followers as he looked over, he said, see, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Andrew and John were two of the young followers of this prophet. And they got up and they walked away from him. And John said, I must decline and he must increase. And you know the rest of the story, that John, of course, was put in prison. The historical account of Holy Writ is uncompromised with the truth. You do not understand every word. Nobody, I don't care if they've got 16 PhDs in theology, can understand every last word of Holy Scripture, because a lot of it is not fulfilled yet. Our baptism brings us to the body of Christ by faith, a faith that God gives us as a gift. We look upon the cross on the altar and we see the crucifixion. We believe that Jesus was taken from the cross to be buried and to arise. But shall we look at it from another point of view? Shall we think about someone who does not know Jesus? You ever run into them? Yeah, they're there. Just have to listen to what they have to say. They say things like, I hope to be in heaven. Or, I've been so bad, there's no way. Or other things, you have to hear their variety of things, but you have to learn to listen. And in listening, you can respond to them, to remind them of what God has done. quoting scripture verbatim and telling them where it's at doesn't do a whole lot of good because they don't know the Bible that well anyhow. But it's grace. We don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but God gives it to us, and He gives it to us freely. How can Jesus love so much? How could God the Father love so much as He gave His only begotten Son to die for such as you and me, who are sinners in thought, word, and deed? How could God love me so much to have a plan even before creation, to know each and every one of us and what we would do, and He would love us so much to give us life eternal? St. Paul persecuted the church, became a missionary. Peter was a fisherman and became a leading disciple. And John, he was the only one of the apostles to pass away from old age. There are many others who stand in awe and embrace God's gift. Billions of people. The Christian church is the largest religious denomination in all the world. But we don't know them all. Because there are people in China that can't express publicly their faith. And one of the fastest growing places is Iran. Isn't that a sneaker? And it's the women, it's the women who are spreading the word of God and what Christ has done in them. There are places that are amazing. But just exactly why? Well, John, in his first letter to the church, he wrote in the fourth chapter the reason that God does all this for us. It's simple. God is love. Amen.